Let's take it from the east to the west coast to the east coast and bring in the Bronx Bomber himself, boxing's true PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer Jr., sir. And how are you and the family, young man?
I am doing great.
That's good.
How's it going with you?
Everything's fine. You know, out here in California, I mean, Emmanuel Navarrete was a winner last night on television, beating Joette Gonzalez. That was sort of expected. Now, Gonzalez is 24-2 with 14. Navarrete now 35-1, 29 KOs. You're boxing's PhD. When's this guy going to step up and make some super fights? He's fighting all these fights that he's supposed to win.
Well, he said it after the fight that he definitely wants bigger names. He's done well by the WBO, defending his title. And that fight, a couple of things. First of all, it started on the East Coast at about 1 in the morning, which was just, I mean, a disservice for one of the most entertaining fighters on TV in the Emmanuel Navarrete. The guy throws, you know, a lot of punches from all angles. He can pop, you know, and yeah, he's not the, you know, he's never going to be confused with Pernell Whitaker or Floyd Mayweather or Willie Pep as far as boxing acumen and just being pretty to watch. But the guy fights, he's great for television, and props to Joette Gonzalez. I thought he fought a tremendous fight. He was just a little bit outgunned, outworked. I thought the scores were a little off. You know, he fought through a hellacious cut on his face. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure this morning he's not looking too pretty at all. He gave it his all, but came up short. Navarrete, who's out there for him? Maybe Shakur Stevenson, if he decides to go up in weight, or the winner of him and Herring.
Oscar,
he needs to get back into the ring.
Let him fight Oscar. Oscar needs somebody to fight Oscar Valdez. He can fight Oscar Valdez at 130. That would be a good fight.
That'd be a hell of a fight. Absolutely, it sells itself. You know, Mexican slugfest. That's a great fight. You know, he is the type of fighter that just kind of outwills you. He's in tremendous condition. He never takes a step backwards. He's there to be hit, but can you keep up with him? You know, watching him on TV, you know, it's like, this guy looks like, is this guy a professional? But yeah, but step in the ring with that guy, you know, catching all these shots from all these angles, and he's got a great chin.
Okay.
You know, he's definitely in the mix of pound for pound best TV fighters.
Maybe the second best fighter out of Mexico. Some people think maybe the best. Bob Arum thinks he's the best because Bob Arum is a promoter. It took place in the Pechanga Resort and Casino near San Diego last night. And you know what the greatest moment, the greatest fight moment in that place was?
No.
When Ricardo Mayorga flicked a lit cigarette at Vernon Forrest in the weigh-in, right in his face. Vernon Forrest fell apart. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. And Mayorga got under his skin. Of course, the rest was history.
That was one of the greatest moments in HBO history that night when Larry Merchant lit up a cig for Ricardo Mayorga. That was, and it's ironic because probably then Mayorga, you don't have a guy as unorthodox as Navarrete be this successful. So that's a good segue.
Was Mayorga more braggadocio than he was ability?
I think he got the most out of his ability, you know, okay. And everyone of that era wanted to fight him because he was money. I mean, you look at his resume, he fought everybody, you know, all the big names, for Oscar, Shane Mosley, Fernando Vargas, the late great Vernon Forrest. You know, he got the most out of his ability, and he can crack. You know, ask Sixthead Lewis. Ask the other guy? Vernon Forrest, of course. He was a bad puncher, you know, and great for television, sold tickets. He did not mind wearing the villain hat, and he was great for the sport.
You know,
he really was.
Vernon Forrest took me on at like the, what casino was the Mirage, one of the shopping centers there, some Caesar's Palace, the shopping center. Years later, because I was standing there, you know, on the dice there when this went down with Mayorga, and he thinks like I was Mayorga or something like that, and he goes, "You're always talking spit with an H and this and that, blah, 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 blah." And next time I hear about him, he's dead. Somebody shoots him.
He confused you with Ricardo Mayorga?
No, he thought I was part of Mayorga's team or something like that. And I was just like a member of the media. He goes, yeah, you guys, all you Nicaraguans, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, yeah, you know, okay, I'm Puerto Rican, Norwegian, I don't know what that is. But anyway, bottom line is Vernon and I, he was screaming at me at Caesar's Palace, and I just walked away from him. I've been screamed at before. I've been screamed at by the best, baby. Anyway, I just boldly walked away from cold, strolled away. And I never saw him again. The next time I read about him, he jumped out of a car and went after some guys. And guess what? They had a gun, but he had a gun too. So he brought a gun to a gunfight and he lost.
Yeah, crazy way to go away, to go out. Like Atlanta's no joke. You know, I've got friends in Atlanta, and you know, you have these young boys. You know, they walk around with what they call sticks, and those are semi-automatics, and they are not afraid to use it. A horrible way to go, Vernon Forrest. And Vernon Forrest is an interesting cat because I interacted with him once at a charity event here in New York because he had a charity that he helped mentally disabled folks. He had a group home in Atlanta, and he was the nicest dude, you know, very nice guy. But then I saw him be a jerk to one of my best friends for Warriors Boxing. Her name is Lourdes. You know, so he's an odd cat. You know, he's moody, I guess, and I guess he caught him on an odd day, kind of like a chip on his shoulder. You know, kind of probably felt never got the props that he deserved. You know, definitely that was the build up going into the Shane Mosley fight that made him a star.
You know, Shane Mosley would have never fought Vernon Forrest if Jin Mosley hadn't gotten involved. Jin Mosley was Shane Mosley's Korean American wife. And she became his manager. And she turned down $7 million to fight Oscar De La Hoya in a rematch because Oscar was going to get $9 million. That was $2 million more than her man, Shane, would have got. So she instead fought Vernon Forrest for less than $2 million and lost.
Not a good deal.
No, and where is she now? She divorced him.
She did. Yeah, come on, go on.
You're not saying no. I can't believe that Socrates is so quiet here. Shane Mosley got dogged by the old lady. Bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Back with more in Boxing's PhD after this.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Sounds of the mighty Tower of Power coming back from the break. Don't forget TowerOfPower.com. They've got it going on now since 1968. You are tuned to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I am your ever so modest host, Pedro Fernandez, on the line from the Bronx Bomber himself, boxing's true PAC, Socrates Palmer. Before we get to tonight's fights, I got to ask you, looking back on last week's heavyweight fight between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, I mean, I wasn't really impressed with Tyson Fury's boxing prowess. I mean, he's got ability, and he sort of like turned it into a slob fest last week. Am I right, or am I just being too hypercritical?
You know, I think that was the strategy. You know, I think part of the game plan was to wear down Deontay Wilder. As far as skills wise goes, Tyson Fury is it. He has the goods. We've seen it in action. Case in point, the first time they met. And, you know, the second time he brought the heat to Deontay Wilder. And I guess this time around, it was to take him into deep waters. And he did clip him early, and Deontay showed the grit that we talked about that we probably didn't think he had. But I think that was part of the strategy, just to wear him down, like you said, make it an ugly fight, frustrate Deontay Wilder, who going in to this fight was fighting on emotion, anger. I think that was just part of the game plan. I think that physically, yes, Tyson Fury, he looks like a sack of potatoes. You know, he's got a horrendous physique, but he gets the job done. You know, and 277 pounds coming down, you know, on the top of Deontay Wilder's head is too much for anybody. you know, more or less, you know, Deontay Wilder. So I think he just fought. That was a strategy. Okay. You know, I think that he is a skillful fighter, and I think that's just what they planned on doing that night.
You know, Wilder really does crack hard, because when he hit Tyson Fury on the head, I'd never been knocked down by a shot hit on the forehead. You know what I'm saying? Well, maybe because I had headgear on. But the bottom line is, I never got knocked down at that point from a direct shot. They're always by hooks. But Deontay Wilder had such leverage in that right hand, and late in the fight, that he was able to wobble Tyson Fury with that right hand hitting him on the forehead. I mean, yikes. That's unbelievable. That's power when you're tired, man.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the hardest part of the body, you know, the cranium, you know, and Deontay Wilder, that's the one thing, that's the X factor, you know, and Tyson Fury was aware of it, that, you know, to the last minute, Deontay Wilder, that's something special that a lot of fighters don't have, punching power late in the fight. A lot of guys are strong early, you know, and then after the sixth round, they get kind of the ordinary, but Deontay Wilder carried his punch late into that fight. And, you know, he rocked Fury a few times, I believe in the ninth round.
Mm-hmm.
So Fury was definitely aware of it. And Tyson Fury did some beautiful work on the inside, too.
It was nice little chops inside, little body shots here and there. I mean, he was clever for a guy that's 6'10". I mean, he was clever in those regards. I don't know. You know, I'm one of those guys that I had to make weight, so I look good. So I think everybody else should look good when they get into the ring, too. Sorry, with the exception of two-ton Tony Galento here. All right, let's talk about Mikey Garcia, of course, a former lightweight champion. God knows where he's been. He fought Errol Spence. He went to distance with that one. He didn't try too hard to win that one. Is Mikey Garcia, should he be taken seriously? Because this guy is fighting tonight. Mr. Tell me about him.
Yeah, what? Hey, I had to do some last-minute cramming, you know, very sincere. I couldn't pick this guy out of a lineup. He's from Spain. Just going off of just stereotypical, he's a European fighter who's well-schooled, fights that has good fundamentals. He's never been stopped. He's a little younger than Mikey. I mean, Mike, it's hard to believe. Mikey Garcia's going to be 34. You know, in December. I don't think it's that hard to believe, man.
The guy's been fighting for a long time, but he's been doing nothing. I mean, for the while there, he was the rage. You know, he should have hooked it up with Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia, all these guys. Speaking of those guys, we'll talk about them in a minute. But he should have been part of that 135-pound mix three years ago. He just sort of I'm going to go to welterweight. He just sort of ignored those guys. Javante Davis.
Yeah, but even before that, I mean, his career went a little different, you know, after that fallout with Top Rank. He was on the shelf for a while. The Lomachenko fight was something that could have been made, you know, when he was under the Top Rank banner.
Did the Al Heyman money ruin Mikey Garcia? Because Heyman was said to have given him a couple $1 million and that he put it away.
Yeah, I mean, Mikey seems like a guy that lives within his means, you know. And I remember years ago, you know, they were talking about him retiring early to be a cop, you know. I don't want to say he was forced to get into the family business, but it almost seemed that way. But his skill level, he was just a naturally talented fighter, because even being basically a chubby lightweight, you know, he beat guys like Adrian Broner that are naturally bigger and real good fighters.
That's not fair, because Broner hasn't brought eight cylinders. Broner hasn't had all eight cylinders running in a long time, and he didn't have all eight running that night.
Well, I mean, you know, Adrian Broner's probably, wasted potential, but it's still a good, good name.
No, it was a good win, but if Broner could have just stepped up just a little bit more and, got himself together and got himself serious, this and that. I mean, instead of, doing those TikTok videos, you know, where you're getting in trouble with judges. You saw that, right?
Yeah. And he just got arrested last week, you know.
Oh, no.
It's been a while.
Well, he's got to get in the news. All right, Devin Haney and Joseph Diaz. Diaz is not going to fight, obviously, because Ryan Garcia pulled out with a hand injury. So Joseph Diaz says, you know, come on, Ryan. And Ryan said, well, I need a date for December the 3rd. Can Garcia beat Haney?
Can Jojo Diaz?
Yeah, Jojo Diaz. I'm sorry. Can Diaz beat Haney? I mean, is that a real fight?
Absolutely. Jojo Diaz is a good fighter, you know, and just not to brush aside the Garcia fight that he pulled out with a bad hand, but they really went at. I mean, he took some real personal shots at Ryan. You know, he called him some words that I probably can't say on the air. He called him a vagina. He said he must have hurt his hand. Shadow boxing. He questioned his masculinity. He really went in on Ryan Garcia. But the Devin Haney fight's an interesting fight. You know, would he take that fight? I don't know. Is it the best business move? You know, maybe it's better to just take a tune-up, wait for Garcia to heal up.
Oh, man. And you know what? But time out. That's all I hear from you, from the Devin Haney people, is tune-ups. I'm sort of tired of tune-ups. When are you going to, like...
Talk about Jojo.
What I'm trying to say is that Haney needs to get off the spot, man. I mean, the guy's from San Francisco. Nobody in San Francisco has any idea who the hell he is. If I went to the mayor, she might not know who he is.
I'm not surprised at all. That's a great fight. You know, I think Jojo Diaz has a really good chance. I mean, Haney would probably be favored, a slight favorite. He's shown vulnerability, getting buzzed by Linares, who's past his prime. But you look at Jojo Diaz's resume. I mean, he fought Gary Russell Jr., you know, who's a very, very good fighter. Tevin Farmer. So, I mean, other than business-wise, I don't see why Jojo Diaz would say no to a fight against Devin Haney.
No, we're worried about Haney saying no. What about Gary Russell Jr.? What's up with Gary Russell Jr.? Last time I saw him, he was on the side of a milk carton.
I don't know, man. He's like the Perry Como of boxing. You know, he comes out once a year with like a Christmas. Right? Wasn't that Perry Como shit? Right?
You know? That's pretty good. So is Mikey going to beat Sandor Martin tonight?
He better. I mean, if he doesn't beat Sandor Martin, then what's he doing? You know, the rest, you know, why is he still in the ring? I mean, I would expect so. I mean, it's going to be about 20 months since he last fought Jesse Vargas. I think it's probably a nice, easy win for Garcia, and hopefully 2022 he's in there with one of the bigger names.
Boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer, of course, a.k.a. the Bronx Bomber. Say hello to the family, the age, and all those important people for me.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate the time as always. Have a great weekend.
The great Socrates Palmer. Folks, as we continue with Ring Talk Live, we're right after the break, we'll delve into the world of MMA just for a minute so I can throw some, you know, elephant dung at the elephant himself, Mr. Dana White. So straight up, after this, we'll rip Dana White a little bit and go back to the sport of boxing. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Don't forget the WBC website, WBCBoxing.com.